Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It is hour number two. We got a packed show today. Monty Williams, coach of the 8-0 Phoenix Suns, to the bubble in 5 minutes. Live in Los Angeles, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're on Fox Sports Radio and right here on FS1. Joy Taylor, her fire alarm went off last night at 3 in the morning.
It was
scary,
traumatic. Well, I was just surprised that a lot of my neighbors, I live in a big apartment building, they didn't go outside. There was like maybe 10 of us outside. I'm like, it's a fire alarm. I'm going to go outside. It's going on. It's going off for a reason. It was fine. Thank God. And shout out to the Los Angeles Fire Department. They were there within like 4 minutes. Very impressive. So
4 minutes.
We appreciate you guys. I was shocked how fast they got there.
I'm going to tell you something. When I bonked my head, remember when I bonked my head?
Mm-hmm.
Stomach issues, collapsed, bonked my head. My wife and I got up and I was semi-conscious. 8 firemen surrounded me in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Cops in L.A. are, I mean, in my instances, firemen, police officers in L.A., I don't know what it is, man, but they are.
Yeah, they were there very quickly.
Very.
Two trucks.
Two trucks, 3 minutes.
Yes, it was really impressive. But, yeah, so everything was fine, but it was not a good night's sleep. And, you know, fire alarms in apartment buildings are...
I mean,
I didn't know. It was so loud and obnoxious, I did not know what was happening. Like, I thought it was the apocalypse. I'd never heard anything like it in my life. So I was like, oh, maybe I should get out of here.
Yeah. So, Russell Westbrook's a lot of things. I always thought his MVP was nonsense. Last night, Houston played their best game in the bubble. Westbrook was gone. They shot threes effectively. Why? Because Westbrook didn't take any. Their defense was great. Is that there's a big difference. I've always thought the media doesn't understand the word valuable. So let's be fair here. I always thought his MVP was nonsense. The most valuable player in the league easily for 10 years in a row is LeBron. It's not even arguable. It's not about... So let's... What is Westbrook? Now there's 5 boxes he checks. Is he exciting? Oh, hell yeah. He's must watch. Is he athletic? He may be the league's most athletic guy. Is he interesting? It's kind of fascinating. Yeah. Is he productive? Yes, very productive. Is he respected? Yes, absolutely. Players love him. I mean, MJ thinks, you know, no question. But is he valuable? Oklahoma City got better when he left. Kevin Durant got more efficient and won more when he left. Victor Oladipo became an all-star when he left. Sabonis became an all-star when they left him. So when you buy a home, what's valuable? Oh, a kitchen. Well, I mean, no, you could rebuild your kitchen. Bathrooms are essential. Not really. You can have bad bathrooms and buy a house. The most valuable thing when you buy a house is location. I can fix anything in the house. I can't move it. I can't move it to the beach. I can't move it overlooking the ski lift. I can't move it to Park Avenue. What's most valuable when you buy a house, don't worry about the kitchen. Don't worry about where's it located. Is it in a good school district? You think it's a safe neighborhood if you can afford that? Do you think it's you have easy access to walking parks and, you know, that's the most valuable thing when you buy real estate. That's what all the smart real estate people do. They don't worry about the kitchen. You can fix the kitchen. But you can't fix the location. It is what it is. So the value with Westbrook, he checks a zillion boxes. He doesn't check the valuable box. When LeBron James leaves a team, they fall off the cliff into the sea. Even if they're well-coached Miami, well-run Miami, good roster Miami, LeBron leaves, they're a mess. They could be a championship-level team. Cleveland twice. He leaves, they're the worst team in the league an hour later. Like, that is valuable. It's like I've always said this. There's a few things you should never go cheap on. Toilet paper. Good toilet paper is valuable. It's not expensive. Don't go cheap on toilet paper. Don't go cheap on quarterbacks. They're very valuable. There are a lot of good football players. Nobody's even close to the value of a quarterback. So when I watch Houston yesterday, their intensity was unbelievable. Their shooting was unbelievable. Their defense was unbelievable. If LeBron James leaves your basketball team, the Lakers, their defense won't be as good. Their passing won't be as good. Situationally, they won't be as good. Defensively, they won't be as good. Houston was better at everything yesterday without Westbrook. And that's not to say Westbrook's not great. He is great. This league is full of great players and great coaches. That is not it. But valuable is a different word than great. There in my life, I've been watching the NBA for 40 years. I've been watching this league forever. There have been a lot of great players that I didn't think were terribly valuable. And then you get the guys who are not only valuable to their team, they're valuable to the league. I mean, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird were unbelievably valuable to the NBA brand. The league was kind of new commissioner, swimming around. Bunch of teams were almost bankrupt. And here comes this good-looking, effervescent Magic Johnson. He was not only valuable to Kareem's career and the Lakers brand, he was valuable to the league. Michael Jordan wasn't just valuable to the Bulls. He was valuable internationally to basketball. So value has several levels. And again, Westbrook is a great talent. Exciting, athletic, energized, productive. Guys love him. They respect him. He plays his butt off. But the valuable thing with him, I've always said, there are a lot more valuable guys in the league, in my opinion. Monty Williams, of all the accolades of Monty Williams, I can assure him that the strangest award that will ever be on his mantle 20 years from now will be best coach in the bubble. He just won that award. He is joining us live, the Suns coach. First season in Phoenix, they went 8-0 in the bubble. You know, it's interesting, Monty. That is the strangest plaque any coach has ever won in the history of the league. So congratulations for coach of the bubble, Monty. But Joy brought up, we were talking about this during the break, is that because there's no home court advantage, what became very apparent in the bubble, and I saw it yesterday with Houston, effort is winning these games. You convinced your young Phoenix team. You guys played hard every moment. And in this bubble, you don't get the home court call. You don't get the home court juice from the fans. You're not tired from flying. I just thought the teams that played with effort, Portland's doing this. You convinced the young team of Phoenix to play hard for every minute of every game. Did you figure it out before we did that effort was going to be the deciding factor in this bubble?
Well, I appreciate the kind words. We have a bit of a blueprint for how we want to play. Our guys bought in from day one in Flagstaff at our first training camp on the high level of intensity that we had to play with to be successful. And one of our coaches, Darko Rajkovic, he was watching the games overseas, and he made a remark to the staff that the teams that were in shape and playing with a high level of force and intensity from the start were having the most success.
Yeah.
And that fit with our DNA. And so we just, you know, we didn't fall into it. It's just how we have to play. And we have talented guys for sure, but they're young. And then we had, you know, phenomenal play from Devin and leadership from Ricky, and a number of our guys stepped up and grew on the fly. So that's the only way we can play. That's the only way I want to play. I don't think you should be rewarded for playing hard. I think that should be a given. And it's not something I take for granted. We just have a team that competes every time we touch the floor.
You know, it's interesting. You faced the Lakers and Portland this year. I was saying Damian Lillard is almost scarier when he trails. Because then there's no, you know, then the coaches are like, Dame, we need you. Come say, it's almost like Patrick Mahomes in the NFL. Trailing, he's scarier than leading. Because when he's leading, Andy Reid may tell him, just run the ball, run the clock out. When he's trailing, Mahomes is going to throw it 12 straight times. You have faced Portland. You have faced the Lakers. Is there a way to defend Dame? Is there a secret sauce or anything with Portland defending them?
Well, we haven't figured it out. Damian is a guy that from the first time I met him at the Chicago pre-draft camp, you just kind of knew he was different. And we had him in a room doing the draft process, and all of the people in the room were asking about his family, you know, hobbies and all that stuff. And as a coach, I wasn't really worried about that. And so I jammed him up with a time, score, situation question. And I hit him with about four or five different scenarios in one play. And he looked me in the eyes right after he processed the question. And he said, "Coach, I don't know." And I thought that was profound. He didn't try to fool me. He didn't try to come up with something that would sound like he knew what he was talking about. He had enough security and confidence in his own ability to say he didn't know. And I thought to myself, I'm like, this, I don't know what he's going to be. Nobody knew back then, but I thought it said a lot about the confidence that he had in his ability and he had in himself. And, you know, we're seeing it now.
You know, Lakers, meanwhile, they're very big. I thought Dwight Howard made a couple of key plays last night. JaVale McGee's always been athletic. Anthony Davis is a handful. I do think over the course of this series, I think the Lakers' size probably ends up winning this series. It's a real handful. When you face the Lakers, how did you work around, if you could, how did you work around their just size?
We had to zone a bit to hide some of the matchups or what we would call mismatches. And so we zoned and tried to get them late into the clock. And we would switch and live with a contested shot, hopefully a non-paint two. But the guy that will probably help them when he gets back is Rondo, because he sets the deck for everybody. He's an organizer, and he's one of those guys that you don't value him until he's not out there on the floor. And when I was watching the game last night, it just seemed like they were missing his ability to organize the floor and get guys in their spots. But they're certainly a big team, a deep team. They missed a ton of shots last night, and that's always the equalizer, especially in the playoffs, where plays aren't necessarily going to get you over the top. It's going to be concepts and environments, talent, and decisions. And last night, Portland made shots. And when I saw CJ come out in the third quarter, he was really aggressive.
Yep.
And when he played like that in the third, I thought LA could be in trouble if you saw a couple of his shots go down, and he did, and it helped those guys win the game.
Monty Williams' first year in Phoenix, he was U.S. national team assistant coach under Mike Krzyzewski in Rio de Janeiro. Suns 8-0 in the bubble. He won the bubble coach. So you were in Philadelphia last year. I know, it's so funny. You were in Philly last year with Embiid and Simmons, and it's interesting about this sport. You can have two great players. They don't always play together well. I always thought it was a credit to KD and Steph that you had these two great players, and they just fit. They just fit. Chris Paul and Harden,
right.
It didn't fit as well. And that's okay. That there's nothing wrong with that. When you're with – I mean, here's my thing about Embiid and Simmons. I always had this theory that if any relationship – if you're in therapy after 8 years, maybe it's just too darn hard. Like, stuff shouldn't be that hard. And I watch Embiid and Simmons, and I'm a cynic on this, Monty. I'm like, God, it can't be this hard. Is it possible that Embiid and Simmons are both great? But it's never going to quite click.
Well, you know, I had the fortune of coaching those two guys. And the thing that, you know, I don't want to make declarations about this year's team. I can only speak to my experience with those two guys. The thing that really helped those two was J.J. Redick, because J.J. had the ability to space the floor, which helped both of those guys. And when Ben would go into his DHO, his guy would tend to back off of him into the paint, and that was an easy shot for J.J. because there was no help after the dribble handoff. And so J.J. was a great compliment to those two guys. That's no disrespect to Jay Rich or Tobias or any of those guys that are playing with Philly now. But I know that J.J. created a lot of opportunities for that team. And it's hard when you're playing in a city like Philadelphia and everything you do is criticized every hour. Those guys are competitive, high-level talents, and they're young. Ben is a guy that I spend a ton of time with, and you know, he's right there. I think when he starts to take those shots in the game and make them like he does in his warmups and his workouts, you're probably going to see a top five player in the league.
Yeah.
But the jury's out on that team. But they their upside is tremendous.
You know, it's the bubble was really great. I mean, I've been watching the NBA and been a fan forever. I think the aesthetic is amazing. I don't think I've ever been more into these games. There's no home court. Intensity is like college. I love the young players in this league right now. It's just amazing to me. Kids are coming in the league and they're better earlier. When was the first time Devin Booker is going to be your guide now for years? When was the first time you looked at Devin Booker? Because Kentucky puts a lot of dudes in the NBA. A lot of miss, sure. A lot of okay, and then Devin comes in and you're like, pow. When was the first time you saw him? And did you think Devin Booker would be this, which is, you know, the young Harden, like literally a guy that could score 50 and you wouldn't be surprised?
I think for me, it was my time with USA Basketball. And the senior team would play against the select team. And I think it was his first time in that environment. And after every scrimmage and every practice, we go into our meetings and start talking about players on our team. And we talk about the scrimmage and was there somebody from that select team that we could bring up? And almost every day, Devin's name came up. He had a confidence about him, and he wanted everybody to know that he belonged.
Yeah.
And I had a chance to, you know, to be with him every day indirectly, and he reminded me so much of Brandon Roy, who I coached.
Oh, God, I love Brandon Roy.
Yeah, he and Book have so many similarities, not many weaknesses in their game at all. Great footwork, good hands, and fundamentally more sound than people give them credit. But the difference between, you know, Devin and Brandon and other players is their confidence. Devin feels like he's the best player on the floor every time we play.
Yeah.
So I didn't see what he's doing now back then, but that was the first encounter that I had with him, and you could see that he was different from the other young players on the select team.
Everybody I know in the league loves you. Monty Williams, how are your kids during COVID? Your kids doing okay? How are you doing?
My kids are great, man. I just graduated. Thank God I didn't have to do anything, but she just graduated from Wheaton College, and I have two in college, and my boys are here at the house and in my pocket, and they're all doing well. They're just they're the inspiration for me, and I'm so thankful that God gave me these kids. And my new wife Lisa has her hands full trying to take care of me and all of my children. So thank you so much for asking, man. I really appreciate that.
A huge fans, you're just a credit to the sport, man. You're one of the good guys. Appreciate you stopping by. I'd love to have you on again.
Thank you so much. I thank you for allowing me to promote our program, and love you guys on your show.
All right. Good stuff. Monty Williams, first year with the Suns, spent a lot of years Hornets and Pelicans. Of course, his wife tragically had passed away. He is remarried with a family, and I bet you he's not nearly as hard. Monty Williams would be easy to get along with, right? That his new wife, that Monty Williams is one of those guys who walks into a room and you just want to hug him. I swear to God, there are people like that in life.
Yeah, he has very good energy, yes.
He said he's a handful. It's like,
yeah, nobody believes that.
I don't buy that. I think Monty's one of the guys you just want to give a big hug to. Good stuff. I got to read a commercial. I get lost in all this stuff. I'm a handful. Coming up next. All right, Milwaukee.
Oh, Colin's mean.
I'm not mean. That's what they used to say in Cleveland. Now they love me in Cleveland. I could run for mayor of Akron. Okay, Milwaukee, stop yelling at me. Uncle Colin is going to soothe your pain this morning. Not really.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tomorrow on FS1, we've got some baseball action coming your way as Christian Yelich leads the Brewers against Nelson Cruz and the Twins. It all starts at 6:30 Eastern on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
Milwaukee lost yesterday to Orlando. I think they'll still win the series. That's not some revelation, you know. But Chris Middleton was not good. Milwaukee fans now think I'm picking on them, like Cleveland fans last year thought I was picking on them, like fan bases across America think I'm picking on them. I'm not picking on you. I'm being honest. The NBA does not find Milwaukee fascinating, despite the fact they have the MVP, soon to be the second MVP, and they're a number one seed and easily the best team, we think, in the East. How do I know that? That's not me. The NBA puts you at 1 o'clock in the afternoon in three or four games. That's sorry. I know mommy told you you were the best at everything, but Uncle Colin is not mommy. He's going to give you the harsh news. Milwaukee's not a national team. When the NBA doesn't put LeBron at one, they don't put the Clippers at one. They don't put they're not putting James Harden at one. They put Milwaukee at one. You're not a national draw. And to me, once you are an MVP, Dame's not an MVP, so he can be loyal to Portland. He's got a nice shoe deal. He gets his love. But when you're an MVP, when you're a Durant, a LeBron, a Steph, you want one of two things. You want titles or you want the big brand money. James Harden is an MVP-level guy. He's got a $200 million shoe deal. Giannis has a decent shoe deal. But Colin, he's got a documentary on him. My cat's got a documentary on it. Netflix has 400 documentaries. Everybody in America's got a documentary about him. They don't make any money and nobody cares. There's one documentary anybody cares ever, Michael Jordan's. That's the only basketball documentary that literally changed viewing habits. It got like 6 million people of viewing. He's got a documentary. He's an MVP. God, I hope he has a documentary. The least of his issues are a documentary. The second thing is, and this is why I think this year is so important, they already signed Chris Middleton to a max. He's not a max player, but he got a max contract. Giannis, if he stayed, would get a max, meaning there's no room for a third star, and it's not a free agent destination. So you already lost Malcolm Brogdon, who played very, very well for the Pacers yesterday. He had 22 points. So these are all, you know, I'm sorry to be the bearer of honest news. It's not the bearer of bad news. It's the bearer of honest news. Milwaukee's not a national draw. Giannis is a great kid, but doesn't, you know, people don't flock into watching him play. The league knows it. Zion, literally the league, is tweaking its summer schedule, its bubble schedule, its regular season schedule for Zion, not for Giannis. So, and I also think it's interesting that the Bucks. Did you hear Giannis yesterday? I thought this was kind of fascinating. The Giannis, what he said after the game. About everybody's like, why is Milwaukee off? What happened to Milwaukee? Their defense isn't as good. They're just, do we have the bite from Giannis? It was very interesting. But I don't even know what to make of this bite. Here's Giannis.
Things were normal. We're back home playing in our home court, and after the game, we go home. We go and spend time with our families, watch a movie, eat your favorite food, sleep in your own bed. You're just comfortable. You know, but now it just feels like we always at work. You cannot escape basketball.
I don't know what to make of that. That's an interesting tweet.
It's kind of something that we were talking about yesterday because saying it might be easier because you're always around basketball. And I said sometimes having no distractions can be a distraction.
It's just Milwaukee's not right now. They're just not right. Something's off. They weren't very good at the end of the regular season. They're not good now. They're not good defensively. So
People don't thrive in uncomfortable situations. While this is comfortable for all of us because we're getting sports back, this is a very unprecedented situation for players. So maybe that's what he's saying.
All right. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Either way, I don't think it's a good thing that he said that.
Yeah, it just comes off. It's really unique. I don't have an opinion, good or bad. It's just Dame Lillard isn't thinking like that.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that this situation, the bubble situation, will start to be a problem for certain players, even if you do get your family in, because you're not in your normal situation. And some people, you know, I think I'm the kind of person, you certainly are, like you can adapt to the circumstances and make it work.
Yeah.
Everybody isn't like that.
You're right.
We do shows on the road sometimes, you know, like for Super Bowl. And I mean, obviously, our sets were ridiculous. We had every accommodation you could imagine. But sometimes when you do shows on the road, it's very difficult. You're not doing your best show.
Not for us.
Because you don't, you know, we're not in our routine. Things change. Ooh. The environment changes.
No, not for us.
We make anything happen.
We make anything work on this show. Not only do we have the best hair.
We do.
Of any team in America. I mean, look at this thing. Oh, my God, it's unbelievable. But we work in any environment.
Oh, we did a show for 5 months with no sports.
Pow.
And crushed it.
Boom.
All right, so Damian Lillard helped the Blazers get the upset win over the Lakers last night with a long three-pointer near the end of the game. After the game, Kenny Smith expressed how impressed he was with Dame's range and even said that he didn't think that Steph Curry could shoot from as deep. Steph was not thrilled with that comment. He tweeted, well, I mean, he wasn't really that upset. He said, love you, Jet, but you're tripping right now. And Smith responded, man, it's been a long time. I forgot. Honestly, though, it's a little out of sight, out of mind for the Warriors.
Sure.
And I also think it's out of sight, out of mind for Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving this year. Obviously, they've been injured. We haven't seen them. Kyrie got injured during the season, but, you know, wasn't playing at his full potential either. And listen, Dame is pulling up from half court and making it look like a free throw. It's absurd. Now, we have forgotten that Steph Curry did. Was really the one who's doing this for the longest, but I don't know though. Like I don't like to be that person that is like out of sight, out of mind, just because Steph's not around. All of a sudden, you know, we're seeing all this from Dame, and now Dame is than Steph. But I do think
the range, they're both absurd. God, I mean, honestly. These are the kind of shots you used to win a car if you took at a basketball game.
Right.
They're like, go to a Laker game. If you hit a shot from that far, they give you a Buick.
You're right about that. And I think it's important that you said that because sometimes as fans, and especially as media, we get a little bit too... We start to expect this from players too much.
No, it's historically absurd they're shooting from there.
At the percentages that they're
shooting.
It
doesn't even make...
I do think that Steph and Dame are very close, despite the fact that we haven't seen Steph in a while. Yeah. I wouldn't give the edge to either one. At this point, because Dame has just been incredible and consistent with it, but where they're shooting from is so far. Like, have you ever tried to shoot an NBA three-pointer?
Yeah, no, it is.
You'll throw your shoulder out.
Yeah, and they're small players too, so they don't have a lot of body weight behind it. They're just, and they both have interesting release points. It's almost like they release it on the way up. So, like, instead of going and shooting at the top. They almost release it before they get up and give it kind of a you know, like the balloon feel to it.
If the fact that they can just pull up and shoot that shot and shoot it with that accuracy is remarkable, and we certainly take it for granted. Dame was putting on a clinic for that last night. So Tom Brady is in his first Bucks camp and quickly is making a big impression on his teammates. Wide receiver Mike Evans already has established some chemistry with his new quarterback and is raving about getting to work with him.
He's the GOAT on and off the field. Like, it's crazy. You know, he's a superstar, the most accomplished player in our game in history. And, you know, he's just like everybody else. He's already up there as one of my favorite teammates. And we've only had a few practices together. He's trying to turn me into a living legend as well. So I'm appreciative of that.
God, can you imagine going from Philip Dorsett and Mohamed Sanu, who are fine, to Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard. I mean, this is honestly, that's like going from a college budget when you're eating ramen every day and then walking in and Bobby Flay is making you, you know, the world's best steak or souffle. Like, you're going to go, it is such an embarrassment of riches. Nobody in the league has this receiver tight end combo. He's going from yelling at guys to get open to everybody's going to be open. God.
I do.
I already booked my Super Bowl.
I know. I don't.
Trip.
Again, they're another team that I just want to watch. I think that they're a wild card team. I'm not with you on the Super Bowl. I think it's a little crazy.
All right.
But I don't remember who said it. I can't remember who said this a few months ago. But they said that the one thing about Tampa that they're going to have to be careful with is his teammates leaning a little bit too much on the fact that he is the GOAT. So when they get into kind of some sticky situations, are they just going to, you know, defer too much and put all of it on Tom to sort it out? Obviously, we don't know how they're going to be playing this year, if that's even going to be necessary. But
cannot wait to watch this. And it may be bumpy. Their defense will be fine. Their defense is going to be great early. It was great last year.
I don't know what to expect from any of these teams that have these dramatic changes.
I do. 15-1.
Finally, the Dolphins are easing Tua into padded practices in his first training camp, and head coach Brian Flores gave some mixed reviews about how his rookie quarterback has been playing so far.
Now, obviously, he's coming off the hip. I think he's looked good thus far from that standpoint physically. Some good, some bad, a lot to improve upon. Some good throws, some good decisions, some throws that aren't so good, some not so good decisions.
Yeah, well, he's a kid, and they didn't have Didn't have preseason.
I'm not hearing about that kind of talk from
look at,
Bengals.
God, look at the velocity on those throws. Watch right here. Pew! You can almost hear it.
I actually like that Flores is being very honest about Tua's progression because I don't want an overwhelming amount of pressure to be on Tua. He doesn't need to be starting right away.
How come our bosses are not putting this on the air? I wouldn't mind being bumped for this.
Okay, let's... I don't know if they have access to
it. Report in. Two receivers for the Dolphins went on the IR. Their hands were broken from catching those missiles.
You know that used to be a complaint from receivers that had to catch balls from Marino.
Oh, no, Marino had he and Elway both had a rocket.
That he would, like throw it too hard. Like break their fingers.
Yeah,
yes.
Jeff George was like that. Like they just threw the ball too hard.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was too hard, but yeah. I'm looking forward to the season with Tua. I like that Flores is kind of tempering expectations, though. You don't want to put too much pressure on him right away coming off an injury
cutting
like
right
that.
Right through that Miami humidity. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
The quarterback for the Steelers and the Bengals and the Raiders, Bruce Gradkowski, is in Tampa. He's going to be joining us next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Bruce Gradkowski, 11 years in the NFL, played Tampa, Browns, Raiders, Bengals, Steelers. And he knows this league, now Pro Football Focus. And he is joining us now, Pro Football Focus senior analyst via the Coward Global Satellite Network. So it's funny, we got a couple of teams this year. Raiders are one of them, where we think Derek Carr is a starter. Marcus Mariota is right behind him, and they're paying Marcus a lot of money to be a backup. Could there be friction there? I mean, you've been in camps before where you don't have a superstar quarterback. Could there be friction with the Raiders?
I mean, there could if they let it. But look, I think John Gruden was just complimenting Mariota on what he brings to the team. And to be honest, Colin, I don't think Mariota holds Carr's jockstrap, to be honest with you. I think Carr, the way he is as a passer, the dude can sling it. Yeah. I mean, he can make plays. And he's a top 10 passing grade for us last year. He's been in the top 10, you know, two times out of his career. Mariota's never been there. Mariota's never sniffed more than a 72 passing grade, and Carr has had a 77 passing grade three seasons already.
Wow.
So I just think as a passer, Carr is above and beyond. But also, Carr only has 17 big-time throws to 12 turnover-worthy plays for us. So that's where Carr needs to get better. Push the envelope. Hold the ball in the pocket a tad longer and wait for that receiver to get open because you can feel it. Don't get to your check down too soon. I want to see more big-time throws from him. And also, use your legs on third down and five. Scramble for that first down. I think that's what Gruden wants, and that's why Mariota excites him a little bit.
You know, there's two ways to look at Baker Mayfield. You know, he had a bad coach last year, write it off. Or you can say, listen, his accuracy was bad. Like, he hit a ceiling. The league has figured him out. He's not a number one pick. He's a franchise quarterback, but closer to a Case Keenum than a Patrick Mahomes. Like, where do you land on Baker after a messy year?
Well, I'll tell you what, Colin. Last year, there was just a ton of lack of details. And I think that hurt Baker Mayfield and that offense. Whether it was OBJ going a step or two too far downfield, the timing and rhythm was off. That's what hurt Baker's accuracy. The offensive line having a tight end block a freak defensive end and pass protection made Baker Mayfield get the ball out a tad too soon. There goes the accuracy there. So I think Mayfield has it. I think in this system with Stefanski, it's going to help him even more with that play action pass. So I wouldn't give up on him, Colin. I think he's going to have a good year. And I think this offense, I think Kevin Stefanski's really going to help him.
You know, it's interesting. Tom Brady's got a lot of weapons. You played in Tampa. But here's the thing. Arian's system, Bruce, is much more push it down the field. Now, I think Tom's arm is fine, but they did lose their right tackle or left tackle who opted out, and Tom doesn't like to get hit. I noticed that in New England. So to get Mike Evans or Chris Godwin, you stay in the pocket longer. You got to hold the ball longer. You just lost your left tackle. Do you think there's any potential potholes for Tom in Tampa that this offense is not height, get rid of it? It is a sit in the pocket, let a play develop offense.
Well, and that's the difference between Bruce Arians' offense and Josh McDaniels. McDaniels was very strategic on mismatches, running backs versus linebackers. He's had a specific plan, every game plan, every game, every week. But I think Tom Brady, don't forget, I mean, him in rhythm as a passer, if you give him time, he grades for us over 90. So he still can do it. Now, the other side, you pointed out, Colin, versus pressure, he's not the greatest. His grade's in a 40 for us. That's not that good. But I think Tom Brady, the way he is, the offensive line around him, the weapons he has around him, the coaching staff, it's a more free environment. And Brady's going to elevate his game and his teammates around him. I think he's going to play well, and I think he does still have stuff left in the tank. But it's going to be used to also. He's learned a new offense. That's a whole other language he has to get used to.
At Pro Football Focus, where you're a senior analyst, Cam Newton, I was told by two different executives last year, GMs in the league, that said he just doesn't look right. You're not throwing the ball the same. So now he goes and shares snaps, doesn't have a preseason, no OTA in New England. How's this going to work? I mean, what's the grade on him? What do you expect from him?
This is a tough situation because I think Cam Newton's electrifying. And what he can bring to an offense, if he's healthy, he's strong, he's big, physical. He's a guy you would build on Madden if you're playing Madden on PlayStation. You know, I mean, just his physique, man. The dude looks great. But, you know, I talk about the last few years, him as a passer, very inaccurate. But what he can bring is pretty special, you know, if he's healthy. And I think he's better than Hoyer and Stidham there. I think he is the guy, but you know Belichick, he's going to make him work for it. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. Just like Tom Brady in Tampa, these guys are learning a new system, Colin. Same thing with, you know, rookies, Joe Burrow, Tua. It's a new language. So when you can learn it all you want through Zoom, but now you get in front of a defense, you call the play in the huddle, trips right, three jet, all goes special, cannon with 358 cannon, alert the clap on the dummy count, ready, break. You break the huddle, get to the line, and now how fast can you process that information? How fast can you get to a different offensive line call? You know, Brady might be used to going, you know, Louie in New England to get his offensive line to go left, and now it might be Larry. So there's just different terminology. So with Cam Newton, I worry how fast he could pick that up and how fast he's able to process it, and that'll allow him to play faster.
All right, 11 seasons. It's going to be interesting. We got Tua, Joe Burrow. A couple of young guys may play early. Bruce Gradkowski, Pro Football Focus senior analyst. We hope you have and are having a great summer, and we will talk soon. Say hi to the guys at PFF.
Thanks, Colin. When you want to water ski, come up to the lake here, brother. We got it.
Devil's Lake, Michigan, right around the corner. I know my Midwest lakes. Good stuff, Bruce. Thank you. Hanging at home, do-it-yourself projects. Of course you're doing that. There's more time at home than you've ever had. Go to Lowe's.com. I just built a bar cart at home. It's fantastic. Good stuff. Tony Gonzalez last hour, Pro Football Hall of Fame tight end, will join us. All these camps are going on right now. It's funny. So we did, was it last week or the week before we did our NFL projections? It's amazing how many people push back on the Ravens going 16-0. If I'd have just said 15-1, nobody cares. But it's that whole perfection thing. I do think what you're going to see in the NFL this year, and I don't think this is a revelation. I think it's obvious. The teams that bring back the same coach, the same coordinators, the same quarterback, it's a gigantic advantage this year. I think Cleveland's talented, but no preseason, no OTAs for Kevin Stefanski. Joe Burrow, college guy to the pros. So I think Big Ben did not play most of last year for Pittsburgh. So I think Baltimore is, and I think Baltimore's roster is stacked. So I think Baltimore's a 14-2, 15-1, 16-0 team that got a massive scheduling break. I wouldn't be shocked if they went 5-1 in their own division. I think Cleveland matches up with them pretty well. But I think Kansas City, I thought Kansas City will be 10-6. My guess is they'll probably be 12-4. I think all these teams that bring back the same staff, don't have any changes, are going to get two more wins than normal. If they're a 10-win team, they're a 12-win team. If they're a 12-win team, they're a 14-win team. Now, similarly, New York Giants, Joe Judge. It could be a complete mess. Young quarterback, new head coach, new coordinators. Giants could be a mess. And they've really upgraded their talent. Cincinnati could be a mess. Washington could be a mess. Jacksonville. So I think there are a couple of these teams with all new parts that could be awful. Instead of winning like five and being a gamer, they win two and they get blown out seven times. Guys, we're getting older, harder to get out of bed, leaner muscle. Are you seeking it? Check out mdriveformen.com. mdriveformen.com. Proteins and nutrients. Hour three next.